Now, like last week, Blake, our college pastor, one of our associates, preached on peace. He talked about the Prince of Peace out of Isaiah. Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And he talked about those sermons. And he talked about all the things that we tend to find peace in. And then he concluded by saying, ultimately, Jesus is the only true peace because of who he is and what he did for us. That's where our true peace comes from. And so I want to continue on in that theme because as we were coming into the Christmas holiday, I felt like the Lord put on my heart that peace should be what our theme should be because the Lord knows we need peace. Peace around us, peace within, peace without. Everywhere we need peace, and there's not a lot of that right now in our world, and we need that peace. So let me read you some verses that talk about peace. And before I do that, let me just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the time that we could come together today and study your word and look into your scriptures, Lord. We ask you to bless our time. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying and eyes to see. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read you a couple of verses that talks about peace, that speaks on peace. And it says here in John 14:27, which is the basis of really what I wanted to say today. It says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." This is before Jesus ascended. This is before he was crucified. He's going to leave and he's going to send the Holy Spirit. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Luke chapter 2, going into the Christmas story here in starting in verse 10. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you.'" And of course, we're quoting from our cartoon. "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" Now, I grew up listening to the King James Version. I just liked the way it said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, goodwill toward men." I just like the way it says. When I was a little kid, I remember I was probably 5 or 6, and I was in a play at church, and I remember looking up, and I think this is what I said. I can't remember, so maybe that's why I like the way it says it that way. But I just remember being a little kid. And, you know, here I am now in my 30s, and I passed my 30s, and then I, you know, in my 50s. But then I remember that as a little kid at 5 years old. I remember standing in church, looking up and saying one of the words, either that or one of the other. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I remember doing that. So, you know, a couple weeks back when we had our children up and they were singing and they were acting, look, that's life-changing stuff for them. You know, that's discipleship for them. They got up and there's something that happens inside of someone when they stand up and they profess Jesus as Lord and celebrate him. When those children got up, it wasn't just about entertaining us. It was about training them, the next generation. So I know that if I can remember that back when I wasn't, my family wasn't that committed to church, and I remember that. Can you imagine those of us who have our kids in programs so that they can come in and they can worship God? So that was a significant moment in their lives. But anyway, that was on the side note. I just had to say that about our children. But let me read you some more. Y'all need to loosen up. You're a little quiet in here today. You can smile. You can laugh. This is Christmas. We need to be celebrating. Philippians chapter 4. Let me read another one. Verse says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension," that's really the key part, "which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." What I'm amazed about is how much peace you can have in the midst of turmoil and in the midst of just everything seeming to go wrong in your life, but you can have peace in the midst of trials and tribulation. Surpasses all comprehension. Surpasses all comprehension. So there's a peace that only comes from God. It can't come from any other source. I think Blake did a good job listing a whole things of things that we get peace out of. But ultimately, I believe as a Christian that the only true peace has to be in Jesus Christ. And I believe all other religions are trying to find this internal peace that they can only find through Christ Jesus. Psalm 122, and I'm going to read this verse for you. For their thrones are set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. Now, I read that because Jerusalem has been in the news quite a bit here the last few weeks. But this is what the Bible tells us to do about Jerusalem. So let's be praying over Jerusalem. I just wanted to throw that in today, if y'all don't mind. Thank you for letting me do that. So, finding peace is not always an automatic thing, even for the Christian. It's a challenge to get to a point of peace, rest, and peace within your heart. It's not always a guarantee. Well, just because I know Jesus, I've repented of my sin, I've turned my life over to Him, I've been born again. Sometimes we have to work for this peace, to get to this peace. Because you look around you, the world is not in peace. And many times it feels turmoil. Turmoil in politics. Turmoil on the news. If you want to find peace, don't watch the news every night. If you want to find peace, go read your Bible every day and watch the news once a week and then pray before and after you watch it so you can discern what really is happening in the world. Because if you watch that, you're going to be so depressed and disturbed. And anyway, I can keep on and on about that. But this process of entering into His peace, it's going to take some effort on our part. It doesn't automatically come sometimes because there is a battle that we're in. And just because we're a Christian doesn't mean we're exempt from battles. But as we had mentioned before, as I had already said, we have the access to peace through Christ Jesus. It's available for us, but sometimes, like I said, we have to go after that peace, and we have to go, work to get into that peace. And you say, well, how do you work to get into peace? We're going to talk about that. But it's going to take effort on our part to go and find that peace within us. Because of His incarnation of God into man, where God looked down and He came into mankind, the advent, His appearing, and He was 100% God. He was 100% man. He wasn't 50% of anything. He was 100% God and man. And He became our high priest. And He felt the things that we feel. He felt the temptations that we feel. And that's the way it had to be in order for Him to really be the Savior of the world. We could have kept on going the way we were. Just the Jewish people having access to God, unless you were to convert and all the sacrifices and all those kind of things. But He came here. If you're a theologian, the hypostatic union is what it's called. The hypostatic union of God and man joining together. You know, there's different facets of this peace that we're looking for. There's an internal peace that you look for. Something inside of you, an internal, a clarity that you're looking for in life when life seems to go awry or things around you seems to be in turmoil. There's this peace you're looking for within you. There's another aspect of peace, which is the peace with God. That knowing that your sins are forgiven, that God has forgiven you, that He loves you, that you have an intimacy with Him. There's a peace with God that we're looking for, an internal peace, a peace with God. Then there's peace with others that we're looking for when it comes to peace. You know, peace being the absence of war or conflict or interpersonal conflict. So these are the areas of peace that we're always looking for and striving for, which can be difficult to obtain and to see. So I want to look at Joseph for a few minutes. So let's turn to Matthew. If you have your Bible or not, you can look on the screen, chapter 1. And I want to read through these passages, then I want to go back and speak a minute about Joseph. And the reason I want to speak about Joseph, the man went through some anxiety. And the man had to find peace. Now, I'm not belittling what Mary went through one bit, but just for today's sake, we're talking about Joseph, all right? And so, but let's read these passages. And it says, now in the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, he was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Before I read on, let me just say, betrothal was a little bit more detailed. It was more than an engagement, but it wasn't a complete marriage in a sense. But we'll talk about it in a moment. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son and will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Joseph had what we would consider a tremendous perplexity had just hit Joseph's life. Before this passage, if you look into Luke, Mary had gone off. The angel had appeared to her, said, you're going to have a child. He's going to be the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, in Luke. She goes off to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who is with John the Baptist. 3 months later, he comes back, and Joseph discovers that she's pregnant. I can only imagine the perplexity, the anxiety that he had to go through at that moment because of basically the historical context of that time. A betrothal was not necessarily, we consider engagement, but there was a lot of legal ramifications to a betrothment in those days, in that culture. So he was still considered her husband, yet she had not left her family yet. And she was still living with her family for about a year, is usually how it went, so they would have a legal agreement, basically. You're going to marry him, she's your wife, but we don't become together until a year later. Then she moves in with him, and they become husband and wife. And that. So it's more intense, it's more detailed than an engagement, but it's not quite the marriage yet. So there was a lot of ramifications for a breaking of that agreement. So Joseph comes back, and I can't help but think this was a crumbling of his hopes. I can't help but think that this was that he was devastated by this. Because there's indications, if you read into it, that he probably had feelings for her and he loved her. It was more for him than just some kind of a legal agreement, because he said he wanted to put her away quietly. If you care, don't care about anybody, that's not how you're going to treat them. So I think in this time frame, he had fallen in love with her. There was a crushing of his heart. There was this momentous barrier to this. And I'm sure he was just crushed by, oh no, what is she really the kind of person that I thought she was? Has she gone out and committed adultery before we even had a chance to get married? Has she been raped by a Roman soldier? What is happening here? And he had a dilemma here. He had an anxiety. He had a perplexity was taking place. How many times we have anxiety and perplexities of life? It does. Hopefully not to this extent. But Joseph had several things, ways he could have responded legally in this matter. He could have abandoned Mary, which would have shamed himself, if you look in the culture. If he had abandoned her, he could have been severely punished himself with fines and a form of shunning that took place. So if he had abandoned her, it would have come back on him. So he's thinking about his reputation. Another thing he could have done is he could have shunned her. He could have exposed her to the public. So there were certain things that Mary probably, some people might have known about what was happening with Mary, but I don't know if the general public, they were, 3 months, you can still hide a child in 3 months if you're pregnant. All the women that I've met that were 3 months pregnant, you can sort of hide that. And so there was probably family members, and he knew about it, obviously, but there's probably others who didn't know for sure about it. So he could have publicly shamed her or abandoned her. He could have exposed her, but I feel like, and exposed her to disgrace, but I think because he didn't want to do that, there showed some love and affection that he had for her. He didn't want to do that to her. But I can only imagine the kind of agony and the perplexity and the lack of peace that he had at that moment. He could have just divorced her legally. That was another option that he had. He could have went through the process and threw her out to the wolves, as we would say. The whole village would have known. Everybody would have known what was happening. And she could have potentially have been stoned to death for her unfaithfulness in that time frame. So obviously, Joseph didn't want that to happen. He was looking for peace, I believe. He was looking for God's answer in this. And the final thing that he could have done, which he ended up doing, is he completed the marriage and he saved himself. In other words, he became the stepfather of the Messiah. He went through with the marriage because he was an upright and he was a godly man. And he went through with it. But you know, it took, for him to do that though, it took an intervention of God. You know, sometimes when I don't have peace, I need an intervention. I don't mean a TV show intervention. I mean, I need an intervention from God to come in when I don't have lack of peace and I have lack of, and my life is in perplexity and my life is struggling with different things that are coming up. But God intervened so that Joseph could respond the way God had called him to respond. It says he gave him peace, sending him an angel to tell him that it was okay. Basically, the angel brought him, in verse 20, he brought him peace. He brought him clarity. He brought this to him. And this peace Joseph found, if you go on down in verse 20, you know, if you look in here, it says, and when he had considered this, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, said, do not be afraid to take her as your wife, for the child has been conceived of the Holy Spirit. There's where he found his peace, hearing from God. An intervention. But God, one of those but God moments, God came through with the peace that he needed. Then if you look in verse 21, Joseph, this as he continued to find this peace, he says, and she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. So here's this testimony of peace, his coming hope. Wow, I have the opportunity to be the one who helps raise the Son of God. Can you imagine that responsibility? To help raise the Son of God. I don't think we realize the, think about that for a second, what it would like to be the father of the Son of God on earth. It's going to take an intervention from God on that one. And then in verse 22, it continues on. It says, now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. His target of his peace. It comforted his heart as a righteous man that he was helping fulfill what the prophet had said. And in verse 23, it goes on and says, behold, the virgin shall be with child. In other words, right now, his current hour, he had peace at the current moment, knowing that he was within God's will, that he was listening to God. So Joseph was able to feel and sense God's peace by him revealing to him the purposes for which he was created at that moment, to basically be the stepfather of the Son of God. And he found his peace, but it took an intervention of God Almighty stepping into his world. Let me read this to you. This is a quote I felt was very good describing this moment. Joseph was not a man of haste, but of grace. The Bible says he gave some time to think on those things that he and Mary had discussed. If you look at it, he said, if you look in verse 20, he talks about he considered it. He considered this, what to do. The man's heart had literally been ripped out, but he would not hastily react. We find peace of God for any situation if we allow the proper time for God to work. In watching people handle crisis, too often they fail to allow the Lord to show up and show out due to their hastiness. If you're trying to find peace in your life, if you're struggling with perplexities of life, just as Joseph did, as we wait upon the Lord, he shall renew our strength. We will mount up with wings as eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint. Because he is there for us to give us the peace that we need as we're looking at for peace here in this moment in time. What I'm talking about here today is peace in the midst of perplexity. Peace in the midst of turmoil in your life. Peace in the midst of the news media. Peace in the midst of politics. Peace in the midst of mass shootings. Peace in the midst of terrorism. Peace in all those things. If you let those things consume your mind, if you let the struggles of even in your family or your struggles, if you let those things consume you, you'll have no peace, even as a Christian. you'll have no peace. But there's an aspect of being able to enter into God's rest, entering into His peace. Not that you forget about everything, but you just set it aside for a moment and say, right now, Jesus, I'm just going to read your Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to sit before you. I don't care what's happening around me, but right now I just need to hear from you, Jesus. I need the clarity to help bring clarity in the perplexed moment. I've never had an angel appear to me. It'd be great if I ever did. I don't know. It may be too scary. But you know, if you look in these passages, Joseph was actually, the angel came to him between Matthew 1 and 2 four different times in a dream, where it was an angel or God revealed to him in dreams. In that, and then one time they appeared to the Magi in that. So we have five probably angelic appearances in dreams. They didn't say there was an angel each time, but there in dreams God came and spoke direction to them. And you know, I believe the reason he did that is because Joseph needed peace. And by doing that, he entered into his peace by the revelation. And then he, what did Joseph do? He was obedient. To every time when God showed him something, he did it. You say, Eddie, how do I get away from this? How do I enter into peace? Why is it not peace? First off, you attain peace by seeking clarity. You obtain peace by not being hasty. You obtain peace by seeking after God in this Christmas season, anytime, really. But if you want to have peace in your life, you got to go to Jesus. I've had some things happen in my life that I still look back and say, what was that all about? I don't understand that. Why did I have to go through that? Why did I have to go through that kind of pain, that kind of devastation? But I tell you, I have felt peace in the midst of those storms. Peace that was incomprehensible, that I know could only come directly from the Holy Spirit. There's a peace that I just can't even describe to you that you can enter into no matter how miserable your life, you think your life is. One thing I have noticed is most of the time your life is miserable when you look at somebody else's life. But as you're coming here into the holiday season, I pray that you could enter into peace, that you could enter into that. But it requires, first off, you seeking God, and it requires for you to take upon yourself what Joseph did, and that was obedience. Joseph was obedient to do as God told him to do. You know, we've got to surrender to Him in order to enter into His peace. If you're wrestling with God because you don't want to do His will, you want to do your own thing, you're not going to enter into His peace. You've got to be willing to surrender to the call on your life, whatever that may be, whatever business you're in, whatever profession that you're in, whatever your job is, doing that with all your heart, surrendering unto Him. It takes obedience. You're not going to enter into peace if you're not obedient with Him. Especially in your lifestyle. If you're leading a lifestyle of ungodliness, you're not going to enter into His peace. A lifestyle of compromise with the Word, you're not going to enter into His peace. So, but to live in the life, if you're lying, stealing, cheating, sexually immoral, you name it, you're not going to enter into His peace. So there's an aspect that the only way you enter into His peace is, number one, to seek after Him. Number two, to be obedient to Him. And number three, live for Him. The way He wants you. You do those things. I believe no matter what you go through, I believe the peace of God is going to come by the Holy Spirit. And He's going to fill you with His Holy Spirit. You know, that's why Jesus said that first verse I read to you. He says, my peace I leave with you. It means He was leaving. He left His peace with us through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as He poured forth the Holy Spirit after He ascended to rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand, there was this outpouring of His Holy Spirit to bring us peace. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Man, what a great verse. What a great exhortation for us as we look back to the birth of Jesus, that significant of that peace on earth. I believe God, you know, I believe in an eternal peace that when we die, we go to heaven. I also believe there's here on this earth, we got a lot of work to do and we have a role to play. And there's a peace that we can walk in here on this earth. You know, and I can tell you just from my own experience, I know that I know that I know. If you'll do what I just said, the peace of God will come. I know, I have lived it, I have felt it, I have sensed it. I can tell you my story later if you want to, but I know that in the midst of pain and suffering, turmoil, the Holy Spirit, if you're living for Him, He'll give you the peace. I've had some amazing stories I've heard of people going through stuff, and I'm sitting there thinking, how did you do it? How did you fight that cancer? How did you make it through the death of your loved one? How did you make that through when somebody just got killed in a car wreck? And you have no explanation. How did you make it through? And the people, every time and time and time again, of every Christian I ever said, they said, it was just the grace of God. The peace of God came upon me, and I was able to make it through. I've experienced that myself. And so that's what I'm talking about today in this Advent season, the appearing of Jesus, the peace that passes all comprehension that we have in Christ because of Him coming here, because of Him incarnating into man, because of Him growing up as a child, and then becoming a man, and then dying on the cross and raising from the dead. This incarnation has never happened before, will never happen again. This is what separates us from Christianity, from every other religion, is God in man, the second person of the Trinity, the hypostatic union, if you like theological terms. This is what separates us from every other religion, is that man couldn't save themselves, so He came and saved us. It wasn't us trying to, every other religion, let me make myself better so that God will accept me, a works religion. You go down to all the major religions, that's what it is. But in Christianity, God looked down and said, you can't save yourself. You can't bring peace to your soul. I'm going to come and I'm going to save you, you helpless human beings. Why He would do that, I'm still not quite sure. Why He would love us that much. Pain we've given God, humanity, I say. When I say we, I mean humanity. But He looked down upon us and says, I'm going to send my only Son, second person of the Trinity. He's going to come. He's going to incarnation of man where God Himself walked among us. Can you imagine that? The footsteps of Jesus. Wow, what a great privilege. If you're a Christian in here today, what a great privilege that we have to be able to partake of the peace of God through Christ Jesus and what He did on that cross. You know, I was reading a book today. It said almost around 2 billion people believe that Jesus is the Son of God on the earth. I'm not saying they're all living for Jesus, but 2 billion people. What an amazing. There's been no other man in history, no other person in history that has impacted the world to the extent that Jesus Christ has impacted. Nobody else even comes close. You say, what about the Muslim religion? Well, even Muhammad was impacted by Jesus. They believe He's a prophet. They didn't get some of their theology right about Jesus. But even they were impacted by Jesus. This one solitary life has been more impactful than any person in humanity's history. So much so that even today, like I said, 2 billion people believe Him, believe that He's the Son of God. And I personally believe that before His second coming, when He returns again, that we're going to see billions more going to come to know Jesus. Because I don't believe He's going to come back to rescue us. I believe He wants us to be preaching the gospel, be triumphant, and He's going to come back in His day and have His way. And I believe the Holy Spirit, as pressure comes on Christians around the world, as pressure comes, they're going to spring up even more. I saw a news thing in there in Iraq. They reopened a church that had been decimated by ISIS terrorists. They had driven them out, but the church was packed out with people. They came back in there and said, you know, hey, we're back. And I believe that's the way Christianity is supposed to be. So let's have peace. Let's surrender to Jesus. Let's remember why we're celebrating what we're celebrating this year in peace. And I believe we're going to have a great Christmas season. Really do believe that. Let me pray for you this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for this time of year. Thank you, Jesus, that You're the one who gives us peace. You're the one who provides what we need in this time. Thank You for the example that we have of obedience through Joseph and Mary. The example of godly responses that Joseph did when he could have just been gone off on and tried, almost tried to stop God's hand, but yet he obeyed. Let us all have that obedient heart to take a chance to step out in obedience when God tells us to. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that Joseph obeyed. Thank you, Jesus, more than anything, that you were willing to come here and grow up in flesh and bone. Lord, we consider it an honor. I do consider it an honor for those of us who are Christians in here to serve you. And we thank you, Lord, for the peace that you give us that only comes through you. If you tell me today, Eddie, say, Eddie, I need the peace that you're talking about. I'm not living my life where I need to live it. I've compromised. I'm not passionate for him. I haven't surrendered myself to him. If that's you this morning, raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. If that's you, just pray this after me and say, Jesus, I come to you. I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me for my compromise. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner who needs to be saved. And I ask you to forgive me and save me at this moment. If you're one of those who are maybe have just backslidden in a tough spot, Lord, I pray for those who need peace today, who are struggling. If you say, Eddie, look, I'm a Christian, but man, I'm really going through some stuff today and I need somebody. I just need prayer. Raise your hand today so I can pray with you. Thank you. All those folks, have your hands up. Let me just pray for you. Jesus, all these folks who say, look, all these folks that who serve you, Jesus, they're going through some stuff right now. They got some perplexities going on. They got some turmoil going on in their hearts. I pray that your peace would come to them today. If there's some areas of their heart they need to surrender to you, let them help them to surrender. But let your peace come, as Lord, as our theme for this Christmas season is peace. May your peace come to them. May your strengthening come to them. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.